Hallelujah. You may be seated. In the book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 and verses 6 and 7, it says, "And Jesus was walking along, and he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, 'Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam,' which means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing." The blind man came back seeing. I proclaim the scripture that we have given you of healing that will absolutely overwhelm you this week, and you will experience a newness in your faith and your walk with the Lord. And on Friday evening when you come, you're going to come so expectant to receive from the Lord in such a unique and new way. This morning and next week, I'm going to speak to you on the subject matter that I call Your Plight, God's Miracle. I've spoken on this subject before, but in a different way. I'm going to dig a little bit deeper in what I want to show you, and I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting us in the celebration of Easter. By the way, Lisa Taylor, thank you for your leadership with all these young ladies. Yeah, thank you. And it's such a joy seeing our younger generation worshiping the Lord. Your plight, God's miracles. Let me tell you what the word plight means. It's a difficult or an unfortunate situation. Plight is describing every non-believer and every believer. There are difficult and unfortunate situations that we face. A couple years ago, when I talked about this subject a little bit, I talked about messy miracles. Taking something that is so messy. And part of the reason why it's messy, because our own thinking and our own thoughts have been so embattled that our thinking is misaligned, even though we think it's aligned with the Word of God. Because God gave you emotions, He gave me emotions, He gave us a mind and a will to be able to decide things in our life and to make decisions. And sometimes we have made decisions with this in the background. All this has been going on for a long time in my life. So I need to find out a new plan, a different plan that God has for me, because I believe that He's not going to take care of this situation in my life. And we try to maneuver, we try to move our lives, and we make decisions, and we kind of allow things to happen and to be done, and even allow our own minds to begin to think things that are not scriptural. You find that in funerals, where in a funeral, people will get up because they are mourning, and rightfully so, they're hurting, they're devastated, they just lost a loved one, and they'll say things about God that is not scriptural, believing because of their emotion that it is scriptural, because that's how they feel. Rightfully, they do feel that way. But it's not what Scripture says. It's not who God is. It's not the character of God. There are many wonderful, godly, even people that pastor and shepherd churches that struggle in their own life because the plight they've faced, the unfortunate situation that took place in this world, in their life, the tribulation that happened has led them to think a different way and has become, as we have talked about, has become almost a bondage, maybe a bondage, but it's become a dam that is holding back what God truly wants to do in their life. And I want to encourage you today, as we are talking about your plight and God's miracles, always remember the plan of God that he marched in on Palm Sunday, a victorious God, knowing that a week later he would be crucified. Friday we will come together and talk about that. Talk about how he broke bread. This is my body broken for you. And on Sunday we will celebrate again the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I want today to begin a step in every one of our lives. And what God did for us this morning is to look at every situation differently. And I'm going to show you how to do that. Remember the plight or the process through your plight is temporary. The promise is permanent. What God has promised us through the power of the resurrection, the power of the stripes he took on his back, is permanent. It is something that is there every single day, and our creative God is still a creative God today. I want us to see the new that God will accomplish. To have better vision, to have greater vision, not of your situation, but greater vision on who your God is. That he's got something new planned for you. In Galatians 2:20 it says, we have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. And the life we now live in that flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God. By faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. He is risen, folks. He's alive today, sitting on the right hand of the Father in his body that was bruised and beaten as a representative of what God will do for you today. Our Savior has taken our plight and turned it around to become a miracle. See, this story we just read about the blind person is such a unique story in the Bible, in the book of John. Let me just ask you this. Did a miracle in a man's life give him something new? Everyone says yes. Because you knew I was going to tell you yes. But what did he give him new? What happened that he never had before? Because all his life, he was blind. He was born blind. That's all he knew. So keep that in mind. He was blind, and now he can see. So my question to you today is I want you to just bathe and base everything that I say on what do you see today? What is God showing you today? What is that new thing? My messed up life and God's miracle puts that life in order. Another question. How can a miracle emerge out of such a plight that I have faced in my life? How can a miracle happen because, bottom line, I have just restructured my life so that I can handle my plight? And I've stopped believing for the miracle. I've stopped believing for this creative miracle. So I'm going to just, I didn't know we didn't have notes here. So it's good because I only have one point today. You can remember it. Next week, I'll give you the other two. Here's my first point. You must open your eyes to what you've never seen before. You must make a choice to open your eyes to what you have never seen before in your life. Because God is a creative God, and God is the God of the new. And we need to begin to choose to see the new and not just the recovery. Why I'm saying that is because we get stuck in our plight. We get stuck in our situation. And I'm not making light of the difficult situations that every one of us have faced in our life. In many instances, we don't have an answer in our own minds what we need to do. We get stuck. It's all we think about. And because that's all we think about, we don't see that God has something new. The victory Jesus Christ provides in the resurrection is bigger than just a relief or recovery, even though God is a God of recovery. But see, God wants us to see things greater, something new, so we just don't walk as someone who has recovered, but we walk in a new lifestyle, new thinking. And we allow our faith to rise up that God can create that new kidney. God can give you a new life. He can change your bitterness into great joy because you choose to allow Him to do the miracle in your life. So Jesus was walking along and he sees a man blind from his birth. Notice the man didn't lose his sight. He never had it in the first place. I'll say that again. The man didn't lose his sight. He never had it in the first place because why? He was born blind. Cultural shift is this. This circumstance facilitates the environment for Christ to reveal the creative structure of the kingdom of God. I know that sounds real deep, but let me just make it simple. The story creates a culture system whereby, in spite of what you have faced in the past, you absolutely believe, because God said it, He's a creative God, and He's going to make something new. So you walk through your situation with joy, even though sometimes it's even worse than it was yesterday. Because God will do something new when you will receive what He desires for you instead of thinking what you have. This guy never had sight. And God says, I want to come and I want to give you sight. He could really say this to Jesus, what's that? I don't know what that is. And there are things that God has in store for you that you don't even know what it is yet. But where's your faith level in receiving that? Okay, let's go on. Remember, that God is wanting to create the kingdom mentality, the kingdom of God mentality of making things new. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Jesus gave her back her health that she had before that happened. For 18 years she had it, not her whole life, so she knew what health was. With the man who was invalid, he gave him back his walk. He used to walk before. With Lazarus, he gave him back his life. He was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. But Lazarus knew life. He gave him back what he had before. But with this man in John chapter 9, Jesus didn't give back something he lost. Jesus gave him something he never had in the first place. Something new. See, there is a difference, again, this is the second time I'm saying this, of God restoring something you had than God giving you something you never had in the first place. Do you believe God could do that? Maybe some of you are listening online and you're wondering how your marriage is going to work. But God can move upon the marriage that you have and make it like new. God can turn that around. See, a lot of people recovery, but he or she did this, and I will never let that happen again. That's the old. That's recovering and trying to, you know, get recovery and thinking. God can restore absolutely that you fall head and heels in love with your spouse. Something you never had before. People have said to me in 46 years that I've done counseling is, I've never really loved her. I never really trusted him. But when we begin to move in the Word of God and trust in the creative God, God can totally turn that around. Where the person that used to say, I never knew what total love is all about, God can turn that around. Or someone could say, I never trusted him. God can turn that around. That you trust one another with everything. He is the Lord of a new thing. That's what Dr. Mila has been prophesying to us for years. The God of a new thing, the God that will take you, the breakthrough, breaking through a wall that you couldn't see past that wall. But now you see it. Why? Because God is a creative God and he does things new in your life. Just tap someone next to you and say, that's for me today. Go ahead and do that. Let me give you a proclamation today, Isaiah 43:19. For I am about to do something new. See? I have already begun. Do you not see it? See, because again, we focus our time attempting to get back what we lost. We do. When we should be asking God to give us what we never had in the first place. I remember Terry and I were living in Helmani, and I was out doing stuff. I had the garage door open, and I had my golf clubs. I had cleaned them all up and everything, and they were sitting there. And, I loved my golf clubs back then. I could spend an hour what they looked like, how they felt, all the different things. But those were wonderful. So I went on the other side of the house to wash some windows and to put a new screen into one of the windows. And I came back around, and I just kind of glanced down the street, and there's a guy running down the street with my golf clubs over his shoulder. He jumped into a car and took off. I could have spent the rest of my life going, oh. I'm never buying any more golf clubs again. Because they don't make them like they used to. You know, that's what, well, I won't say that. Okay, I will. I'm old now, and sometimes I say that. They don't do things like they used to. Some of you are looking at me and say, I say the same thing. No, what I did was I had insurance. And the insurance allowed me to go get brand new golf clubs. And I spent time researching all the new stuff. Because I liked all the old stuff. But I researched and I got the new stuff. And there's so many believers today that they're just trying to recover from the old stuff. My statement to you is, let's jump a little bit further. Instead of God heal, how about God totally bring new? Amen. I mean, doesn't that make sense? But see, this is what's happening in this story. It is amazing. Jesus just walking down, he sees the guy, walks up to him. He knew what was going on. And he restores his sight. See, God is not interested in renovating your past. He is more interested in releasing you to your future. That's the power of the resurrection. So this should be our thoughts in our families, in our generation, in our nation. We need to start believing God for seeing things we've never seen before. Today we see a generation targeted by the architects of darkness with a plight that says there is no such thing as truth. Truth like holiness or personal responsibility. And we need to really rise up and say, Satan, get your filthy hands off our children. And that's in the power of the risen Christ. Let me just say this to you. May the church rise up that has the audacity and anointing and courage and the biblical substance to say, get your filthy hands off our children. Now, let me tell you, your plight is going to see a miracle if you begin to change your thinking what I'm talking about today. Begin to declare and believe. The mess, the plight is about to become a miracle. And that's what I have been doing over this house for 18 years, and I've seen it happen over and over in people's lives, in their marriages. I've seen it all over the world. I've seen churches rise up. I've seen churches that we planted rise up and have hundreds and hundreds in the church, people being led into the Lord and people being healed. Why is that? It's because I am believing that God does something new. Every morning, I ask the Lord, is there anything you want me to change in my life? Because I want the new thing you have for me. Just like John chapter 9, we need to get ready to see something that we've never seen before. Are you ready for that? Or like at the beginning when my golf clubs were stolen, I'm thinking, oh man, I've had those for 7 years. Oh, man, I like the handle. I like this. Now, I just, you know, God, blessings upon blessings. I don't hold anything against anybody, but thank you, God. You've given me wisdom to have insurance, and I'm going to get my new stuff. I'm going to go get the new thing. And I'm asking that you would, instead of just constantly, God, look what's happened through the years, and let me just say this. How many times can we literally look at our situation and say, I made some wrong decisions in the midst of that plight? I've really made some decisions because I was really ticked off about things. I got bitter. I got angry. I got mad at God. Matter of fact, I was choosing, I'm not going to church anymore. There are many people sitting at home, maybe not even watching this, and they're sitting at home because they're mad at church. To me, God needs to do something new in their heart. John 11:40 says, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." How many of you love God? Amen. So let me say it this way. Stop drinking the Kool-Aid. We found now that wasn't healthy. I thought Kool-Aid was the most healthiest thing in the world years ago. We're about to see the prodigal sons and daughters come home. Our plight, again, will become miracles. Numbers 14:21 says, "But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord." Habakkuk 2:14 says, "For the earth will," doesn't say maybe, "for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Let me make this clear. I don't think, I don't hope, I don't wish, I don't feel. I know God is about to show up in every new way in your life and mine. Because Luke 1:37 says, "For the word of God will never fail." Hebrews 10:23 says, "God can be trusted to keep his promise." Now, some well-meaning people will say, "Well, Pastor, all that sounds good. But you know, we're living in the last days." Okay, I'm just going to be honest with you. I get so tired of last day people. You know why? They're negative. "Well, you know, in the last days, it's going to get worse. Word tells us there's going to be stuff going on. But let me tell you, it happened from the beginning. The first family had, I'm not talking about the president, the first family in the world had murder. I am fully confident of Paul's description of the last days in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I am confident talking in Matthew 24 as it pertains to the last days. I'm not in denial, but in the last days, the Bible says that men and women will be lovers of themselves. We call that narcissism, Instagram, TikTok, X, whatever. Selfies. Anyways, in the last days, men and women will deviate from their natural desires. But wait a moment. There's another last day promise, something new. And it's huge. It appears in the Old and the New Testament. Joel 2:28 is repeating or being repeated in Acts 2. Acts 2:17 says, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." So all you negative last day people, read the Bible. And stop being so negative about life. But let's get it back to our everyday life. The next thing that we're going to see is the Holy Spirit to fill America. We're seeing it now. We're seeing cabinet meetings. We're seeing political cabinet meetings where they start praying and they begin to sing worship to the Lord. We're seeing universities. I told you about this before, that the championship team, Michigan, yes, I'm from Michigan, championship team from Michigan, over 70 of the young men received Jesus Christ as Savior, and over 50 of them, if my memory serves me correct, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But what do you see? You don't see that. But that's what took place. It is happening all over our universities. But what do we see? We see the stuff we see on TV. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is moving and He's rising up. Why? Because we celebrate Easter. We celebrate Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And He has resurrected. He's alive. And He is doing what He has promised. He is a creative God, and He will make some new things in your life. So the next thing that fills America will be the Holy Spirit. It will not be a shutdown. It will be an overflow of the Holy Spirit. So your family plight is about to receive God's miracle. Your mental mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial plight is about to become God's miracle. Right now, God is moving. Your health plight is about to become a miracle. Receive the new in your body today. Receive it in Jesus' name. Friday, we're going to come and we're going to celebrate healing. We're going to celebrate the bread. Jesus loved talking about bread. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Now, I know you always hear the opposite. But America's plight is to become God's miracle. Why I'm talking about America? Because I live in America. So instead of riots, we're going to see revival. Instead of lockdowns, we're going to see the opening of heaven. Instead of strife, we will see unity. Instead of hate, we will receive love. Instead of relativism, saying that everything is true, no, we will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Instead of destroying property, we will build altars of worship. People will begin to come back to the church and to worship God. Instead of confrontation, we will have conversation. Instead of political affiliation, we will have prophetic designation. God is going to move in our lives when God's people will believe that He's that creative God, like the man who was blind from birth. Instead of storming a building, we're about to storm the gates of hell and take back to see the new that God has created for us. Instead of many being under fear, one nation under God, God's power, God's love, and the mind of Christ will prevail in our society. You're going to see your schools change. There's going to be a release of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our schools, and praise God, amen. And praise God, today through Easter, every single day will be celebrated in the White House of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in your family, in your faith, in your finances, in your relationships, in your church, in your community, in your thinking, in your actions, in your words, in your house, you are about to see the glory of Jesus like you've never seen before. You're going to see it. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. By the way, worship team, thank you for being so anointed. I just, amen. Go ahead. We got to get this. And I'm talking to people I've known for years, a lot of people. We got to get this. We got to really rise up in our lives. Everything that you are doing, everything that you say, everything that you think, rise up and proclaim the prophetic realm, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. The Holy Spirit is moving. You are seeing everything in front of your eyes. You might see your plight. You might see your difficulty, but I want to tell you, today is a new day. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. You must rise up and be that person that no longer allows your plight to become your word. Let the word of God become your plight. And you walk in it. In Jesus' name, I proclaim a blessing over this house. I proclaim a blessing over every family represented, every marriage. Lord, I proclaim over our young children, over our youth, over our young adults, in Jesus' name, what the enemy has meant for evil, you will turn it around, but make it new. And we will have our young people, like we saw today, rise up. Our young marriages, rise up and become everything you have created them to be. God's sons and daughters. And I give you praise and honor for that in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Give the Lord an applause. Praise God. I love y'all. And see you Friday evening at 7 o'clock. God bless you.